Today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
You know, there's a saying that suffering introduces a person to themselves. Think about it. You see, you really come down to know who you really are when you're suffering. It's sort of a facade when everything is going just so well in our lives. But when we reduce our life down to suffering and enduring and persevering, we kind of know who we are. Suffering is a rigorous classroom, but it's also the birthplace of courage.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
Now turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In verse 12, watch how the Apostle Paul puts this together, our suffering and his suffering. He says, "So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live," he said, "according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father." An interesting word I've said in the past, the word Abba is Aramaic, not Greek. The only English equivalent would be Daddy. And what he means by that is we have intimacy with God, a tender term, not just as our Heavenly Father, but in a sense, as our Daddy. And then he says, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God." Again, notice how positive this is. And then he says, "And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ." We're not only children of God, but we're heirs, fellow heirs with Christ. Well, I've read the end of the book, and I'm sure you have too. But how much does Jesus inherit? Everything. And you're a fellow heir. Isn't this great? Like, this is all this. Remember what? This is the idea of spinach, hot fudge sundae. Watch. He says, "And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." Suffering is unavoidable. You see, to the Philippians in chapter 2, he called it the fellowship of suffering with Christ, the koinonia, the partnership of suffering with Christ. Wow. Once again, let's let Peter speak too. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4 this time. 1 Peter chapter 4. And he adds to it in an unusual way. But he says something I think we all need to hear. Chapter 4, 1 Peter, in verse 12. He said, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you." That's what he adds. He says, look, please don't be surprised. You see, if I was to ask you to raise your hands and said, how many of you believe there's suffering in the world? You would all raise your hand. And I said, how many of you believe there's suffering everywhere in the world? Oh, and how many of you believe that every day people are suffering in this world? Raise your hand, right? How many of you believe that right now people are suffering right now all over the world? You'd raise your hand. Then why is it that when suffering comes up on your porch and rings your doorbell, you go to the door and you go, what? How can you possibly be here? We're surprised by it. You see, we're not surprised by the notion that other people suffer. We're surprised by the notion that we're going to suffer. Peter says, don't be surprised. See, don't be naive. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing. There it is again, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing so that, he says, also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. He says four things there. One, don't be surprised. Two, it's a test. By the way, it's not a test for God to see where you are spiritually. It's a test for you to see where you are spiritually. Thirdly, he says the more suffering in your life can actually bring more joy in your life. Really? And then he says, and by the way, suffering has huge future dividends with God. Wow. And so, suffering is part of an important process. Even our perfect Lord suffered. And thirdly, and most applicationally, and most importantly, suffering is too important to waste. Please understand what I'm saying. Suffering is too important to waste. I want to give you some sort of like steps, or maybe some tips that can really help you have a sense of contentment even in the midst of suffering. The first one is this: share the suffering. When you're suffering, share it. We're designed by God to share it. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, Paul says, bear one another's burdens. I've said in the past, in the New Testament, there are 39 one another's. Believers' responsibility to other believers. One of those is to comfort one another. In Romans 12 and verse 15, Paul says, mourn with those who mourn. You see, share it. If you are suffering, share it. There is a Danish proverb that says, sorrow shared is half a sorrow. And the reason I say you have to share it is, if you're really suffering, a lot of times you're going to find that people don't know what to say to you. They don't. And so consequently, they're afraid to come up to you and talk to you about it. If you lost someone you love, they don't know what to say. You see, if you have some horrific diagnosis, they don't know what to say. And so they don't say anything because they're afraid to hurt you. So take the initiative. Share your suffering with them. Just go to them and talk to them about it. Ask them for prayer. Pray with them then. And I think you'll find by sharing your suffering, it will be very helpful for you. This next one's a little more difficult. And I want you to turn just back a couple pages to James chapter 1. The second step would be this. Thank God for it. You have suffering in your life. Thank God for it. Notice what James writes beginning in verse 2. He says, consider it all joy. Boy, I wish he didn't say that. I wish he would have said, consider it as potentially a positive situation. But he doesn't. He says, consider it all joy. Now, he would never say that unless that's the potential of the verse. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, there it is again, produces endurance. The same as perseverance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. In other words, and you'll mature. You'll become more like your Savior. You'll become a better person. That's what James is saying. Thank God. Praise God. You see, praise and gratitude have it. An interesting thing, there are powerful painkillers. You see, once I start praising and thanking God for what I have, you see, Dr. Elaine Eng, what did she was losing her sight. She could have become bitter the rest of her life. I'm never going to be an OBGYN. That's what I wanted to be, and look what happened to me. But what did she focus on? Her children. What did that give her? Time with her children. You see, she focused on that. So much so that when it was over, she said, I would have never changed anything because of the opportunity I had with my own children. See, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. In Acts chapter 5, the apostles were flogged. Now, I don't know exactly what that would mean, but I'm guessing it's not a pleasant experience. And after they were flogged, it says they went away rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus. Like, wasn't that great, guys? We got to suffer for the Lord. Remember what the Apostle Paul did? I told you one of the early sermons on contentment, all the things that he went through. And he said, you know what? I consider those as almost nothing compared to the surpassing glory that awaits me. You see, there is in that sense a thanking or a praising of God. Now, I know something that's unusual, and it's counterintuitive, and it's countercultural. There's no doubt in my mind about that. How can I have joy? How can I have contentment in the midst of this? Well, first of all, I know that he'll be there. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I also know that in Romans 8:28, all things are going to work together for my good. I know that's going to be true as well. I also know from the book of Philippians, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. These are what I know when I'm facing this kind of problem in my life. You see, what feels often like something's tearing us down is really building us up. When it feels like it's a harmful thing, it may turn out to be a very positive and good thing. And so, you can share the suffering, you can praise and thank God, and this is the one you've been waiting for that you really like. Let's go back to Psalm 13. This is the one you'll like the most of it. Go ahead and complain about it. Yes, that's right, you can complain about it. And the reason we complain is, by the way, suffering is painful. It's overwhelming sometimes. You see, and it's wonderful. God says, go ahead and complain about it. Look at Psalm 13. This is a psalm of David. That's right, David, a man called after God's own heart. And apparently he's in a suffering situation. So I love the way he starts the psalm. How long, O Lord, will you forget me? Forever? Notice that. How long? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all that day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? How long am I going to feel this pain? It's okay to say that. You see, it's okay to say that. I call that praying your humanity. How long? I'll tell you what it's not okay to do. It's not okay to judge and accuse God. It's not okay to say to God, you're not good. Because if you were good, this wouldn't be in my life. That's you judging God. It's not good for us to hide from God. But you can say to the Lord, how long? Notice the pain that he's under. Verse 3, consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. This agony is killing me. You see, again, no naivety here in Scripture. It's painful. It's difficult. Suffering always is. You have this right to complain to God. Number 4, share the suffering, thank God, complain to God. But please never waste the pain. Don't waste the pain. You say, why would you say that? Because I've seen so many people do it over all these years. I have been with so many people that have suffered in our church, and they wasted the pain. And what I mean by that is, they never learned anything from it. They never tapped into God at all. You see, the way this process works, you say, well, how come, how does suffering work on my behalf? Well, notice the words that he used, endure and persevere. What does it take to endure and persevere? According to Hebrews 11, it takes faith. And by the way, what does suffering do? It drives me to God. There's nothing else I can do. You see, there's nowhere else to turn. I can't fix this myself. Lord, I'm driven to you. And so what happens here for so many people, instead of that happening, what ends up happening in their lives is the only thing they will say is, woe is me, I've been victimized, and this is terrible. And I don't know why God let this happen in my life. And they never learned from it. And the reason it's so bothersome to me and so hard to witness is I wonder sometimes, are they just going to prolong their suffering? You see, God is relentless in his pursuit of conforming you to the image of his Son. He's relentless. He's going to do it. And he knows that suffering is the best methodology to transform us into the image of Christ. And so consequently, don't waste the pain. You say, well, are you sure that that's the right way to go? Well, let's think of a couple analogies. What about sports? If you think about it from that point of view, what if there's no suffering in sports? I can tell you this, there'll be no improvement. If there's no suffering, there's no improvement. There's no development. There's no strengthening. You see, what do they accomplish in practice? You see, why do you do that? Why do you keep running in your training? You see, why do you work on your endurance and your strength? Why? Because I'll tell you something, I don't know how it is for everybody, but every sport I've ever played, except maybe baseball, practice is painful. It is, it's just painful. That's the whole idea of it. The idea is to push you, push you, push you, push you. Why? So that you'll be able to perform. You see, there, the suffering, in a sense, is what is used to perfect you. Think of the military. Boot camp. That's gruesome. You see, and what do they do in boot camp? What? Tell me all your choices that you have in boot camp. None except what? Endure. Persevere. Stay at it. Why? They have a goal in mind. You see, they have a goal in mind. They want to make you a soldier. You see, and there's pain in that. You see, that works in our life. We see that in life, but we often, so often, don't see it at all when it comes to our spiritual life. Dr. Richard Swenson says this, our body hurts, our brain hurts, our spirit hurts. We cry. We can't sleep. We endure high levels of stress and anguish. We cry some more. We wonder if we can possibly make it around the next lap. But when the dark night clears and we graduate to what comes next, we have gained perseverance and character and patience and strength and experience and sensitivity and compassion and maturity and depth and fortitude. Granted, it's a risky strategy, but there is no other way God can give us such accelerated growth. Remember always that this loving God suffered for us and suffers with us still. It is safe to trust him in the storm, to have contentment in his will, and to wait for understanding until later. share the suffering, thank God, complain to God, never waste the pain, and lastly, welcome the lesson. Welcome the lesson. You know, there's a saying that suffering introduces a person to themselves. Think about that. You see, you really come down to know who you really are when you suffer. It's sort of a facade when everything is going just so well in our lives. But when we reduce our life down to suffering and enduring and persevering, we kind of know who we are. Suffering is a rigorous classroom, but it's also the birthplace of courage. You see, it's the birthplace of courage. And so the question comes down to, will you learn the lesson? You see, suffering is a part of a very important process to us, our growth. Even our perfect Lord suffered, and we are not to waste our suffering. Francis Frangipane wrote this, "Life consists of learning lessons and passing tests. The integrity of God requires that our learning not be a mere head knowledge, but that our hearts be conformed to the image of Christ. Indeed, before the Lord is through with us, the way of Christ will be more than something we just know. It will be something that we instinctively choose in the midst of suffering and the battle. This is where we graduate into the real and true power of God." You can be content in the midst of suffering. You should be content in the midst of suffering. Ask Jesus. Ask Paul. Ask Peter. Ask Dr. Elaine Ang. And they will tell you the same. Let's pray. Father, there is probably no more unpopular topic among your children as among any group of people than suffering and pain. Father, we want to avoid it at all cost. We will go out of our way to not have to experience it. But Father, that's naive on our part. We live on this planet. We live in this fallen world. And Father, we all suffer. Every single one of us. Father, I would pray that when suffering rings our doorbell, we see suffering as something that you will use. You will turn the pain into our good and your glory. And that through our suffering, we can have a sense of contentment and even inner joy. And Father, after we have suffered, we can use that experience to minister to others who are suffering in a similar way. Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ, not just the life that he lived, but the suffering that he had, not only in his life, but on the cross. For without that suffering, Father, we could have no relationship with you. Father, I pray that we learn the lesson and that we become content even in the midst of our suffering. In Christ's name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, that is, as a sermon that Pastor Bill delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all of this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gephardt, I'm Jason Gephardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.